I'm back, and that signals that we are together with David in the studio right now. A very good morning to you, and what do you have in store for us this morning?
Yeah, good morning to our listeners. Good morning, everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, today we are going to speak about the Road Fund Administration, an institution which is dealing with, road charges, vehicle charges.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to look at what are some of the things that they came up with, especially when yesterday they have announced the effectiveness of the amendment of their act, and also the generosity that they have done in terms of debt relief, especially to those who have vehicles license which have, are in debt for the past years. To say, if you have debts of a vehicle, a vehicle license which is older than 3 years, you are lucky, because in that case they came up with a system of cleaning up the debts, and also looking at also the new system of relieving those who have been struggling, and also looking at ahead, and also something looking at the situation where we are. That is a very good news, especially to Namibians, and also to those who were not able to afford. Because if you go, for example, at the north, a lot of cars are there, they do not have a disc. Some of them, but you can see that it's not really necessary because a car is not on a good standard. It's only that even the aspect of money, even the aspect of a situation that people are living in, talk about poverty. But things like this, or coming up with a relief program, is quite a very good thing. And also to give generosity also, because sometimes when a corporate institution is there just to do its job, especially regulators, and also collecting money, you may be able to think that, are these people who are running the institution people? But I think that's something that we are going to look at. And we are also going to look at a bit on a speech of a CEO. I think later on, this is Mr. Ali Pinge, just to look at what does he really mean when he's speaking about that, and how much is already automatically going to be written off, especially in the context of 371 million. That one is already going to be written off, and that is debt relief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because according to him, the board approved a waive of about 1 million that is in interest, which was charged on penalties. Mm. So it basically means that when you are owing, they normally used to charge you pen interest on the amount you are owing.
Because you have interest and you also have penalties when you don't comply. It is always happening. Even with NAMRA, it's the same thing.
They
penalize you. But in this case, he indicated that, 371 million are going to be written off. However, those who are, whose debts are below, 3 years, they have a right to apply.
Oh, okay.
And he, as a CEO, he is authorized by the board, because the board does not do the work, does not do the administration work.
Mm-hmm.
He is authorized by the board to relieve up to 1 million Namibian dollars. If those who have debts, and how many people have debts? I think that is a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
Some people, they just owe maybe, it depends on what vehicles they have. 2,000, 1,000, depends what vehicle they have.
Mm-hmm.
But him also have that power. He stated that the act gave him that power, through the authorization of the board, to say, can I be merciful to these people until 1 million? Then they said yes. But beyond that, if you pass that gate, beyond that, I think it's a minister who has the power to relieve above 1 million debts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. This fund, was actually established by the Act of Parliament to administer everything to do with road funds.
Yeah.
But I think in Namibia, we are also in a good position that we don't have toll gates. Other commuters or road users are really
you know what you are going to be charged anyway. It depends on how you call it. You're going to be charged anyway. It depends on how you call it.
Yeah.
You may say you have a better way of tax, but it depends on, you know, name does not matter. But you're going to be charged anyway. But having a fund that is a very good thing, because when you look at Namibia road system.
Yeah.
We have the best road in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But are we using it well? That is a question of another day.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to other African countries, we are number one in terms of roads. But the maintenance of that road, either it's a street road, this money has to come from here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I trust that you are going to have a very, very, very mouthful presentation regarding this as a whole. Media release, which was released on the 17th of September, 2025, regarding the amendment as well as the waive and the debt relief and the cancellation of all those type of information contained in the media release. I trust you will have a good listening. But from myself, Matthias Angala, bye for now.
Join us every weekday for the Twilight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight, before the sun comes out. Join us every weekday for the Twilight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight, before the sun comes out.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumuna oijabu ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. How are you? Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And I think it's the right time to thank Matthias Angala. It's the right time to thank Matthias Angala. And yeah, this is your Early Morning Business Conversational Developmental Program. This is a program that we discuss business, we discuss governance, and we discuss trade. So wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you from your favorite number one radio station. That is Eagle FM Namibia. And we are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. Some of you are still sleeping. Some of you are awake. Some of you are already at the gym. Some of you are contemplating on going to work. Some of you are in hospital beds, and some of you are struggling with life. But what is very important is also that you must appreciate the fact that you are awake. You must appreciate that. That is already one point. The fact that you are awake, you must appreciate that and do what you can do best. So, and just before we go to the program, it's always very important to understand that time wasted is an income lost. And just know this, that every day you are growing a day older. Every day you are growing a day older. Because sometimes I ask myself that, was that that young boy at the village running around with my sister at the village, just a very small boy without any responsibility. You don't understand how the world is working, but now you are asking, how old are you? When somebody asks you, how old are you? And can you imagine when you were a child? But what is that best that you can do? Because time wasted is an income lost. And also you will never go back to that one day older, because every day you are getting old every day, and you must come to terms with that fact. And the fact is only that, what are you doing within that day? And what are you doing within that day? And what are you doing within that week? And what are you doing within that month? And how do you deal with challenges? How do you deal with troubleshooting? And yeah, so for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop. This is where we give you global, continental, regional, and national news. Let's look at the commercial break.
Get all your essential products for just 99 Namibian dollars at USave. 1 kilogram each of Rice King Rice, Top Score or Bokomo Super Maize Meal, Sugar King White or Brown Sugar, 500 grams Pasta Polana or Pasta King, and 750 milliliters Right Brand Sunflower Seed Oil. That's 5 products for only 99 Namibian dollars. USave, I save, yes we all save at USave.
Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated to you, this is a platform that we discuss everything that is related to what we put on the table, especially bread and butter. We discuss everything that attached to human development, that is also attached to our national development, either in terms of infrastructure, in terms of the economy, and generally in terms of the people. That's why everything is centered with the people. Everything is centered with the people. Everything is centered with the people. Whether you are building an aeroplane, whether you are building a private jet, whether you are building a jet fighter, whether you are building a gun, whether you are coming up with banking institutions, technological services, everything is centered with the people. And the question is that, are these things improving human lives, or are these things also putting human lives in danger? When you are, in most cases, when you wake up every day, you'll be able to understand that all the actions which are happening are centered with people. Although there is also an aspect of, to extend it to say, an aspect of environment, and also catering with other animals. But when you look at the aspect of development, human beings are at the center of that, and we must also be able, also especially at this program, we must also be able to interrogate those matters to say, what is an ordinary person doing deep down the village in Omaheke region? How can that person be assisted? How can that person get closer to information? What is an old granny at the north doing? And what can be done to assist in improving the life of that person? And what is the contribution of this person to national development? Yeah, because some of people, they think that when somebody is 90 years old, he or she does not have any contribution to the national development. But you must be able to understand that some of the greatest capital is information and wisdom. And in that context, even if that person is not even if that person is not physically strong, the person has wisdom and life experience. And what advice this person can give to the young people? That is what we discuss about. We discuss about the improvement, resilience of SMEs. Are the SMEs resilient enough to counter for challenges? We look at the aspect of policy making, policy analysis, and policy implementation. Is Namibia implementing the policies that they put on the table? Why we are so excited during elections when our councillors are promising us heaven and earth, but after elections, we are so disappointed? And how can we improve that? How can we make politics and the economy talk together? And also, how can we make sure that we don't dislike politics, because politics is the only tool that can be used, if used very well, can improve the state, can improve human lives, and if it's not handled very well, or if it's not monitored, can also be can cause unfavorable things to human beings. That's why we are always trying to discuss that, to say, in terms of governance, where are we standing? In terms of our SOEs, where are we standing? Are our SOEs operational to the full capacity? Are they delivering what they're delivering? Are they delivering on the deliverables? We look at high institutions and the basic education. What are we producing? What are we putting in the market? Is what we are putting in the market in line with what the market wants? Is what we are putting in the market very competitive? And what are the challenges in the, on that ground? We touch on issues of energy, oil and gas, food security, and also we touch on sport and geopolitics. So this is Early Morning Scoop. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is not only a one-directed conversation. That's why every time we are giving you an opportunity to express your freedom of expression, and engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. After every conversation that we bring on the table, we'll be able to give you an opportunity to engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, because we understand that for us to build institutions, for us to expand our capacity, and also for us to improve the lives that we are living in, we need to make sure that we listen from others and we give various perspective on a topic or on a discussion. So yeah, before we go to what you have on the table, particularly before we look at what is happening on international ground and also at the continental level, it's always very important to make sure that you like, you follow us at all our social media platform. That is Eagle FM Namibia. You follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And when you do that, you just become one of the lucky people to have a luxury of accessing economic and developmental news. You will be able to access geopolitical news, and you'll be able to understand what is happening at home, in the region, and at the global level. So by doing so, you can be able to have access to information. On top of that, you can also be able to have access to the Villager newspaper. And we're always indicating to you that the Villager newspaper is an e-paper that is coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. So with the Villager newspaper, if you are a researcher, if you are a student of economics, governance, or just, or a business person or a developmental enthusiast, make sure that part of your sources of information, you must have the Villager newspaper. And the question may be, how should I get the Villager newspaper? Because it's an e-paper, it's a soft copy that can be sent to you on WhatsApp that you can access to online by clicking the link. But you can also make sure that you make your life easy to get the Villager newspaper every day for free. I mean, every Monday morning for free, every Wednesday morning for free, and also every Friday morning for free, by making sure that you send your name to this WhatsApp number, 081-200-444. When you do that, send your name to that number, save it at your WhatsApp contact detail, and we'll be able to send you the e-paper. Then you understand what is happening around the world, what is happening in Namibian development, where is the money going, and where is the money coming from? Where is investment going? Where is investment coming from? How can you strategically position yourself in this developmental and changing world? How is the impact of technology to our lifestyle? And the last time there was good content on electrical car. How do you come to terms with the reality of changes? And also, how do you change yourself? Yeah, because we are always making sure that we equip you with relevant information, developmental information, and information that will assist you to move from point A to B with ease and without doubt, because we got you in terms of content of information, in terms of real value information. We want to elevate the conversation. We want to elevate the conversation beyond the obvious. We want to elevate the conversation beyond the mere discussion about weather, or the mere discussion about who is the most beautiful lady in town, who is a guy with a lot of money in town, who bought a lot of drinks last night, and who was chilling where. We want to elevate that conversation to make sure that when it's coming to issues of Namibian economy, where we are the second highest economic unequal country, we improve that. When it's coming to issue of unemployment, where we are leading in SADC region, we improve that. When we are struggling with energy, when you are struggling with electricity, and also we are struggling with subsidization of oil every day to make sure that we are on the safe side and the government is on an economic defensive mode. When our economy is growing at a decreasing rate, to say, when our economy of 2024 is growing below 3.7% real GDP, which is less compared to 2024, even though in 2024 we had the drought, you may be able to realize that there is something that we need to do, and that is engaging into deeper conversation about economy, development, and also opportunities. Yeah, and the other thing is also that you find those who are asking to say, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? Why are we not connected to you guys? And the frequency is fluctuating. We are not be able to connect it to you. We are indicating to you that we come up with a better way. We come up with a better way of you connecting to us, and also a better way of interaction. That is by making sure that you download Eagle FM Namibia. You download an app of Eagle FM. You go to App Store, Play Store. Then you download Eagle FM app. And when you do that, you have a luxury of accessing the programs on air, and also the previous program through podcast. The other thing is also that you can download Imba app. That is a digital version of a hymn book that is coming in various Namibian languages, whether it's Oshiwambo, that is Ehangano, whether it's Oshierero, that is Omaimburiro, whether it's Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So whether you are a pastor, whether you are a student, whether you are somebody who is called to a congregation, whether you are facilitating a graduation, and you need to sing and bless somebody from a hymn book, make sure that Imba app is part of your sources, and you do not need to worry. Even if you forgot your hymn book at home, you lost it, it is stolen, or you gave it to somebody, make sure that you download Imba app, and you make your life more easier. Lastly, you can also buy airtime on air. You can buy airtime on air. We are always telling you to say money invested in advertisement is money on the way to come back to the owner. Just make sure that you talk to me, Monica Ipinge, marketing manager. Then you can be able also to buy airtime on air and advertise with us, so that you can get coverage and you can get your potential customers. You can advertise with us at on radio, and you can also advertise through the Villager newspaper. And in that way, you just bought yourself a luxury of getting expanding your revenue within your business. So dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are here until the hour of eight. We are here until the hour of eight. So in this regard, let us look at what is happening around the world. what is really happening around the world. What are some of the happenings around the world? How do they have impact on Namibia? And what lesson can we learn from this? Because what is very important is also that when something is happening, when you are getting, and the beauty of either economic or geopolitical news is that when something is happening in Asia, when something is happening in Latin America, when something is happening in Venezuela, you must not just look at it to say it's far. You must look at it into connection with you to say, what are the commonalities of this event? What are some of the things that they may likely to happen to me? And how can we avoid such situations? So that is why we are always indicating to you, in any event that you see, particularly on the global stage, see and ask yourself, how are you connected to that? And what are the degree of impact that is going to have on that? Because where there are human beings, there are always commonalities. Because what is very interesting is also that nothing much have changed, although we have changed in terms of technology. Human beings has always been like that. Economy have always been, although we used to have those thousands of years barter trading, economy has always been at the center of human civilization. Trade has always been at the center of human civilization. In cases, conflict has always been there, where you have people who have conflict. Diplomacy have also been there. But what is important is what you can learn and what you can take forward. So let's look at the commercial break. Then we look at what is happening on the international ground. What is happening on the international ground and moving forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere uliko ni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoewe ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa nene uto otukwetira o special angetashake ngeshefa omarude dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora isatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as we indicated, that this is your Early Morning Economic and Business Conversational Development Program. This is where we discuss issues of bread and butter. And looking on international ground, yeah, it is stated that the European Union laid out on Wednesday its toughest plan yet to pressure Israel to end war in Gaza as Palestinians fled en masse from Israel. Tanks, drones, troops pushed deep into the coastal and grave ravage by 23 months of war. So you understand that Israel is still pushing, screening up, I think this bombarding. It's a lot of this bombardment in Gaza. And people are pushed to the edge of town, and there is no mercy. There is no mercy. And what is interesting that is the world is watching. United Nations is going to be 8 years this year, and a lot of people have expected actions, but this did not go in vain. Although there's a bit of slowness in responding to the death of people, just not more than 2 years. Just not more than 2 years when Hamas went into Israel and killed around 200 people there. The response of Israel was so catastrophic, to that extent that even the allies could not sugarcoat anymore. Even the allies should not sugarcoat anymore, because people are dying without any categorization. Whether you are a journalist, you are a medical practitioner, you are a pastor, people are dying. And the Israelis are using heavy machine guns, rockets, and they are putting down buildings. And what is interesting is that United Nations has finally responded when it has done its investigation on the possibility of genocide in Gaza. Then on Tuesday they have released a report. United Nations Human Rights Commission released a report which indicated that yes, indeed, Israel committed genocide. There is intention to eliminate the Palestinian in Gaza. They knew exactly what they were doing, killing everybody, civilians by purpose. And what is stated in this regard is also that between 7 October 2023 and also 31st July 2025, more than 60,000 people have been killed, and 18,000 of those were children, and 9,000 of those were women. We talk about civilians, we talk about ordinary civilians, and destructions of hospital, and there was also a burning of medical facility, particularly that is dealing with women reproductive system, and it's chaotic. But European Union being part of European Union being a great partner with Israel, where they trade with Israel, they also realized to say, no man, this thing which is happening is not going to be good, and history will not be good on our side. That is why European Union laid out on Wednesday the toughest plan to make sure that they put sanctions on Israel. And the question that you may ask yourself, is that is this going to be the end of it? Is this going to be the final isolation of Israel? Is this going to be the end of war? And there are diplomatic words which were used to say, we are not really punishing Israel. But you may be able also to understand that when European Union is saying that people have been moved, and there is an explanation to say Israel is a main trading partner, or EU is the largest trading partner of Israel. And tariff may also have an effect on Israel's economy, and is already suffering with the cost of long war, because money war is a very difficult, I mean, it's a very expensive business. You must have resources. Because if you are using an AK-47 Assault rifle, you are not only just going to use 47 bullets in one battle. You need also a foot. You need the technology. And you also need the drone support. The drone support and many other things. That's why in this complicated world, even technological services is matters. And looking at this, this indication to say roughly 32 million euros in bilateral funds controlled by European Union Commission will be immediately suspended. 32 million euros in bilateral funds controlled by European Union would immediately be suspended. EU said no, they are going to suspend that. And the Commission has also turned the cuts to say, we are now going to give support to the Palestinian Authority. Now going to give the Palestinian Authority. And what is also interesting is that EU did not really have a good stand, especially when it's coming to the war in Gaza Strip. That's why it's indicated that the 27 nation EU has been split over past 23 months over war in Gaza. Of our war in Gaza. But now, this is what is put on the table. And it's a bit unclear whether the majority will agree to endorse the sanctions and trade measures. And yeah, so let us look at this news. Let us look at this news and also see what is the content of it.
The European Union has unveiled its most stringent plan yet to pressure Israel into ending the ongoing conflict in Gaza. The EU foreign policy chief Kaja Kallas is calling on the 27 member nations to raise tariffs on certain Israeli goods and impose sanctions targeting 10 Hamas leaders, Israeli settlers, and two high-profile figures from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet.
The aim is not to punish Israel. The aim is to improve the humanitarian situation in Gaza. All member states agree that the situation in Gaza is untenable. The war needs to end. The suffering must stop and all hostages must be released. We must use all the tools we have towards this outcome. We must also not lose sight of the dangerous developments in the West Bank that reduce the viability of a two-state solution.
This announcement comes as thousands of Palestinians continue to flee amid escalating military action with Israeli tanks, drones and troops advancing deeper into the coastal enclave that has endured nearly 2 years of warfare.
We regret having to take this step. However, we believe it is both appropriate and proportionate given the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Gaza. The Council will decide on this measure by qualified majority, while the European Parliament will be duly informed.
Roughly $38 million in bilateral funds controlled by the EU will immediately be suspended. The Commission also gives support to the Palestinian Authority. Israel denies there is starvation in Gaza and says it allows in enough humanitarian aid.
Yeah, that is what's happening, especially when it comes to EU. That is what is happening, especially when it's coming to EU and also putting sanctions to Israel. And, it was also stated that, when it comes to the trade between, EU and also, the trade between Israel, it's roughly at 32 million euros, especially when it's coming to bilateral funds, but this is going to be suspended. this is going to be suspended, and we'll see what will happen. We'll see what will happen.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoewe ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I...
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 2 kg real good frozen chicken mixed portions for only $89.99 and 2 kg marathon white sugar for only $39.99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 21 September 2025. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready Steady Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
People in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh. Yes, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with, Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with, Early Morning Scoop. And, you got it yourself. You got it yourself, especially when it's coming to Israel. However, it's also very important also to look at news that are related also to trade, especially in Africa. It was stated that Cameroon cocoa plantations is grappling with black pod diseases. Cameroon is known for production of cocoa, and it's known that in this regard, especially in the southern region. And it's known to be one of the country's top cocoa belts, and is grappling with black pod disease that is putting the production of cocoa down. It's putting the production of cocoa down, and also be able also to say that in that case, it's affecting the trade, and it's also affecting the business of cocoa, especially in that region. You may also be able to understand that when it comes to climate, especially the countries in the Western African countries, they are also suffering, because when you remember like one week ago, you also may be able to realize that when it comes to shea nut in Nigeria, the administration of Nigeria have also have to You have to make sure that they have to cut the export. They have to cut the export to make sure that they add values to their product. Because remember, if you are providing something at high yield and we are also selling it at a low price because it's a raw material, and in a situation that you are affected or impacted by such a disease, you will not be able to survive. You will not be able to survive, and your economy will also be affected. Yeah, and I think it's also quite crucial. It's also quite crucial to look at what is happening in our neighboring country. What's happening in our neighboring country, especially in South Africa, especially in South Africa, where you have issues of complication in terms of governance, as we are speaking now. South Africa has two ministers of police, and it's up to you also to see how can governance become so complicated in a situation where there is no coordination, or in the situation where there is no coordination between the security cluster, the national government, the coalition, and also the party, and also the party itself, the political party itself. And yeah, it was indicated that General Mkhwanazi, for those of you who do not have a background, General Mkhwanazi is known police commissioner in KwaZulu-Natal, KZN, and he is the man behind the demotion of the police minister, and also demotion of a deputy police commissioner regarding corruption and also infiltration in the judicial system of South Africa, the police cluster, and also the government itself. Is a man who showed, presented to the public that there had been communication between the police minister and also one of the known or notorious gangster, and they've been communicating, and also he's a man who brought this to light, and he also a man who received a lot of praise and criticism. However, as we are speaking now, there is ongoing commission of inquiry. This ongoing commission of inquiry, and you need to also to remember that the minister who was accused of that was put on suspension, was put on leave. A lot of people have been expecting him. He was one of the people who were supposed to take over ANC, or the future president of South Africa. A lot of people are asking to say, is it a political game, or is it part of incompetence in terms of governance and also handling issues of police? But in this case, we must also be able to listen to what Mkhwanazi has to say, because the beauty of South African democracy is that when you have done something, they create a public commission of inquiry where you have to be investigated, and you have to also be questioned. Then you present your case, and you have to give them information before they come to the conclusion. And it's quite part of democracy. Whether it's effective or not, that is up to us to interpret that case. But let us look at General Mkhwanazi, who have appeared before Mlanga Commission, because remember, when a commission of inquiry is set up, in most cases, it's likely to be named after the chairperson of that commission, But in fact, it's a commission, of inquiry. In this case, it's called the Mlanga Commission, and also to see what is the general has to say. What are some of the key points? What are some of the key points that he has to indicate? What are some of the key points that he has to indicate whether he have exposed his senior or not, or whether he is trading within the line? So let us look at this and look forward.
Please refer to file one now, to your statement. And I would like us to pick up this conversation from your paragraph six. In paragraph six, as I understand it, you seem to qualify the testimony you are about to give. And I would like you to explain to the commissioners the extent of that qualification and the explanation of the nature of the testimony and evidence that will be tendered in this commission.
Thank you, Commissioner. It is important for the Commissioner and the general public at this juncture to understand the main function of the South African Police Service, which is primarily to investigate a crime that has been committed. So in the course of our investigation and analysis, as well as the collection of evidence that we get, the information and evidence that we get, the patterns are established to which further the more detailed investigations may be warranted. To the extent that these patterns are established, the potential threat to the independence and the proper functioning of the justice system, these are flagged and pursued where required. In the results, a number of allegations I advanced during that press briefing are premised on and intended to draw the attention to establish and to the developed pattern which enjoined us all to urgently act as law enforcement as well as the country to effectively respond to the threats that have been established during the course of the investigation.
And you were not here, the evidence leader pointed out that we are here today because of the press statement and the press briefing, the press statement you delivered on the 6th of July that was published to the country at wide. You deal with this aspect from your paragraph 7. If you could have regard there too. And to this end, you have an annexure there referred to as MK2. And for reference, that would appear at page 103 of file 2. And at 104, my apologies, 103, yes. The actual document starts at 1.
We had appeared before the South Africans on the 6th of July. I must first thank the media in South Africa for affording us an opportunity to be able to share our challenges with the public, which then, as a result, it helped the state president to establish this commission following that press briefing, which we also appreciate, as this commission is going to help us to deal with the challenges that we are facing as we execute our duties. And lastly, I want to thank the general public for having received our message very well. And I'm sure what we're going to talk.
Dear listeners, just to give you a tips of what is happening in South Africa, what is happening in South Africa in simple terms is the police officer or the commander of the province who have identified the corruption link within the security system, and also the involvement of politicians in South African, with South African criminals. And in this case, it is what is stated. And so far, you have two police ministers. The first one is not fired, is suspended. Then you have an acting minister, that is Professor Kachalia, who is appointed to act. And you also be able to look at the cost. You look at the cost and also the involvement of these actors in South African governance and also South African politics. And what is interesting is also that this is also one of the burden to African National Congress, especially in dealing with corruption, because corruption have affected a lot of governments, not only in South Africa. But what is very interesting is that the more South African people lose interest in the ANC, the more it's going to be very difficult to predict the future. Because if somebody take over, or the coalition continue to be weaker, or somebody get involved in the coalition, the way South Africa planned to lead its country is not going to be the way it's going to be. And eventually, as Namibia, if we are not changing, because we must always be praying to say, or we must always be hopeful to say, South Africa must be stable. South Africa must be stable. South Africa must at least grow economically so that we can also survive. But what can we learn from this to say, in a situation that things get out of order, as now is very difficult for the government of Ramaphosa, although he's one of the most skillful politicians, to say it's very difficult to drive South African economic agenda. Even the other day, he indicated to his supporters to say, no, the municipalities which are working are the one which are run by DA. And that is another point that we see, that the development or the weakness of government in Southern Africa can affect the economy. And the structural mismanagement of resources and also funds can also impact the economy negatively, and can impact the way things are being done. Now, you have somebody who is in charge of the police and is chatting with somebody who is suspected of murdering people. And there is also aspect of political killing. Political killing. In Namibia, we are safe. This aspect of political killing. What is the impact of political killing on investors? How many musicians in South Africa, for example, were killed? Is it politically motivated? Because when somebody got killed in South Africa, or in some cases in Namibia, but we don't have political killing actually. If somebody got killed in South Africa, it would take 20 years to defend that case. But if you steal something from a tuck shop, which is not make you of less of a criminal, you will be caught within hours. And it's also allowing also us to look and also ask and question our judicial system. Also allow us to question our judicial system to see what are the loopholes within the judicial system, what are the loopholes within the security system, and what impact does this have on development. Because remember, if institutions are not being questioned respectfully, if institutions are not being questioned respectfully, we will never improve. Because if the judicial system, or if you are criticizing government every day, we are criticizing politicians, we are criticizing the executive, we are criticizing parliament lawmakers, we are criticizing councillors, and but when it's coming to judicial system, we are a bit scared of asking, because the court is the most feared place. But if you are saying, no, what can we do an assessment on our judges? Can we do an assessment on our magistrate? Can we give them a competency test? What is the accountability there? How can we improve that system? Can we do our assessment on our criminal investigators, for example? Can we do our assessment on our financial analyst within bank or financial intelligence center or wherever they are, in order to improve our system? Because remember, if we look at those things with blind eyes, the results will show themselves. The results will show themselves. Like to say, you guys, because we only have until May as Namibia to prove ourselves that we are out of that grey list. Because if not, it is also going to impact the investment of in green hydrogen and other things. Because who want to invest in a country where there is illicit financial flow? Who want to invest in a country where financial crimes are not brought at a final conclusion? And those are the angles that we are coming from to say, the more we put our institutions at test, the better it's going to be. The more we realize to say, in a democratic situation or in a democratic environment, when you are saying everybody is equal before the law, what make a judge who is a custodian of the law exception from that? Because at the end of the day, he's a human being. If he's using old laws, why can't we revisit the functionality of our judicial system to say, what is the contribution of judicial system to human development, for example? Because at the end of the day, legal law is not only about judicial system is not only about prosecuting people and locking people up. It's also about changing of behaviors and also coming up with some laws which are effective, and also laws which can be positive to change of the society. Because if you don't deal with that, I remember I was in intern somewhere at Katura Magistrate just for a few weeks, and you look at what the pressure that judicial officers are going through. Then you look at the piling up of cases. Then you ask yourself to say, if somebody does not have money, if somebody does not have a lawyer, although that person maybe did or did not do something, how is this person going to see justice? You just ask yourself this. How are we going to move forward? Or it's just things for formality? Are we going to look at effectiveness, or we are just going to formalize things? Yeah, that's why in South Africa is it's quite very difficult, and it's also quite there's a lot of case studies in South Africa actually. Because you find somebody who was, for example, a public protector, who ended up joining parliament. And you find even judges. I think it's Judge Mlope, who is from the bench straight to politics, MK straight to parliament. And him himself, he realized that there was something wrong within the judicial system, and he's coming to change things. Then it's something which is very interesting also to see that if we are not doing this thing of check and balance of all the organs of the state, we will not get where we are. That's why now Nkwananzi is have a lot of protection, but he's just a man without any rank. Just a police commissioner. They are top guys, and everybody wish him to be safe, but it's just one of the case studies. Because at the end of the day, wherever we are, we must always try to make sure that questioning of an institution does not necessarily mean that you hate it. But it means that at least how can we improve ourselves? Because we have been sugarcoating, we have been looking at the blind eye for a very long time. But the situation that we are now, even as Namibians, the situation that we are now, it requires us to say we must do things, not business as usual. As the president likes saying, to say, it's not going to be business as usual, because that phrase indicating that if it's going to be business as usual, it's going to be worse. It's not going to be business as usual, which means that people, we need to change, and we must find better and also alternative ways of doing with things, of dealing with things, whether it's government, whether it's public sector, whether it's private sector, whether it's non-governmental organization, whether it's faith-based institutions too. Also find, and I don't want to get there, but you find also those who are hiding behind the Bible. Faith-based institution, what is the accountability there? What are they doing to our people? Do they understand NDP 6? Do they understand where the country is going? Or they are there for, are they there for spiritual healing? Or they are there just for business? And how can they work together also? Because you cannot operate in silo. How can they work together with developmental partners? Because at the end of the day, everybody must be a catalyst in national development. And it must be business unusual. So dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 8. We are here until the hour of 8. And you can engage us, you can call us, you can give your views and your opinions at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And moving forward, we will look at what is happening within our administration, within our fund administration. We'll look at what's happening within our administration of fund. Look at what's happening, especially when it's coming to institutions which are responsible. Especially when it's coming to institutions which are responsible also for collecting vehicle charges. We're going to look at that. What the CEO of Road Fund Administration has to say. And what does it mean to an ordinary person? What does it mean to an ordinary person? Is it a positive move or is it a negative move? And how is this going to impact the daily lives, especially to the vehicle users and also those who have been, swimming in debt, because there is always room for mercy and also always room. And it's also a very good thing. It's also a very good thing when institutions, they also try to make sure that regardless of the mandate, there is that provision which assist. There is that provision which assist people also to live a better life. So for now, let us look at the commercial break. Then we'll come and look at the speech of the CEO of Road Fund Administration, CEO of Road Fund Administration, and also. After looking at the speech of the CEO of Road Fund Administration, we are going to see how we can interpret this content, and it's also very important also to see the distinctions also, because there are regulators, there are funds, and institutions are different. And you may also ask the relationship between, what is the relationship between Road Funds Administration, NATIS, Road Authority, and also MVA Fund, for example. You must also try to find that distinction, because there's always a link, because there's always a link between institutions of that nature and how they can work together, especially to improve either is human lives or strength of roads, infrastructure, and connectivity too, because one of the major important things of business is connectivity and logistics. And you cannot have logistics if you do not have roads. And roads should not just be ways, but roads should be roads in terms of infrastructure to say, are you using a sea road? Are you using a road? Are you using air road? Or are you using a railway road? So that's why, and it's also quite important also for you to read and understand to say, when people are talking about this institution, what is the meaning of it? Because some institutions are a bit silent. What is the meaning of it? What are their role? And also, what can you learn from this? Especially vehicle users, vehicle owners, who I think are going to celebrate, are going to be happy when they receive this news. And the question is that, are they taking it for granted? Or what is that that they learn from here? So for now, let us look at commercial break. Then we can come. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are here until the hour of 8. We are here until the hour of 8. Let us look at this.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact.
Kapena o ntano di bolifepu the ShopRite. O tse dingi mo kukwetira o ntano di pebi mi pumbi wa aiheto pumga ngasho ke jimba di vin timbu ya rumba kanifayo real good. Kheta tu no hoi no send omena ngo hoi no hoi. Osho wa okay jimba di dosu ka ontokere o marathon. Ntato no hoi no send omena ngo hoi no hoi. Oshike una ufuta oshinji jivulife ko ShopRite. Ziriko sigombali na limga sebe temba. Oko ShopRite. Akuke indira opa mino ready steady cook ko One Africa. Toyet.
When life gifts you,
honey, the washing machine broke again.
Take control with Express Credit. Get fast, reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan, easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tete opoewe ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe indife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile ko mderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM, let's you express your...
Yes, let us look ahead. Let us look ahead. And what is ahead? And the question is, what is ahead? And yeah, as I indicated earlier that we are going to look at the speech of the CEO of Road Fund Administration. And to look at the speech of the CEO of Road Fund Administration. That is Master Ali Pinge, who yesterday gave a media briefing, especially regarding the works of the Road Fund Administration And for you who are not aware, what is the role of Road Fund Administration? In simple terms, it's a fund. It's almost like NVA fund. It deals with money. It deals with money. And it's a fund which is managing the charges or the charge system and also collecting money from either fuel levies and also license, you know, authorization funds, and make sure that this money is collected in order to be used, in order to be used for the maintenance and development of the roads in Namibia. For the maintenance and development of the roads in Namibia. And when you are doing your vehicle registrations, that is the money we are talking about. Because in fact, the roads that you are using, the roads that you have paid for, but there are also those who did not pay for the road that they are using to. They are using, or there are those who have, who owe road administration fund. Who owe road administration fund. However, the institution also has a right to impose and collect the user's charges and also monitor compliance. And the other thing is also that when it comes to the Namibian society, when it comes to Namibian society, you may be able to understand that debts, some people, they end up in debts not necessarily because they do not want to pay, but the situation on the ground. Because, you know, and we have seen this with other institutions, even NAMRA, to say, oh guys, I'm going to give you a relief period, or there is an amnesty on this, so that you can have time to comply. But this institution, the CEO, and I don't want to distort his words actually, he indicated that on the 22 of August 2025, there was an amendment on Road Fund Administration Act number 18 of 1999. And this amendment addressed the treatment of prescribed and unprescribed debts. And for maybe context, prescribed debts, these are old debts. These are old debts. You can have a debt that you owe an institution more than 20 years in debt. Some people, they are no more, or some people are no more working. Some vehicles are no more functional. But the act also gave a right for effectiveness, and also a right for assisting those who are in need. So that is why what was indicated by Mr. Ipinge is that under the amended registration, vehicle license fee debts which are older than 3 years are now regarded as prescribed. And when they are regarded as prescribed, they are now regarded as old debts. And it is stated also, in terms of the Prescription Act, these debts are legally extinguished and will automatically be written off by Road Fund Administration. Vehicle license fee, if it's older than 3 years, it's regarded as prescribed debts, and will automatically be written off. And that is a lucky thing. And it was also indicated that the aim is to clean out the system. The aim is to clean out the system, and also give opportunity for a new window. And how much on that ground, it is indicated that vehicle owners do not have to apply even for the relief. It will happen by operation of the law, which means that the act is amended for the greater good of men. And in Namibia, we are living in a social, I don't want to say it's a social grand society, I'll be lying. It's a social social fare or social welfare state. That is it's a word I was looking for. It's a social welfare state where, although we are struggling, state and state institution at some point they meet up halfway. Then the question you're asking is that, what is the sustainability of subsidization? What is the sustainability of subsidization, or what is the sustainability of bailing out? Why can't we stand on our own? Is it still historical past of colonialism, or there is something that we are not serious about? Is it still historical colonialism? And they stated that money to be written off, or debt to be written off, currently is by the system of road fund administration. The very off prescribed debts is amounting to 371 million. 371 million, which means that they will no longer look for you, and you are safe for now. And what again? The content of what again? The content of those whose debts are less than 3 years. The speech continued to indicate that debts that are less than 3 years old are referred to as unprescribed debts. The act introduced opportunity for relief, which means that the owners of vehicles may apply for waiver of interest and penalties on this outstanding amount. Because when the principal vehicle license fee remain payable, the interest and penalties can be waived upon successful application. So you just need to come up with your application. You just need to come up with your application and make sure that if your car is still, if your license fee remain payable, those interest and penalties can also be, waived. And, it is stated that, through the act, the board of road fund administration has the power to authorize the CEO to waiver or to write off these interest and penalties that we owe to road funds up to 1 million. And that is quite a very good move. It's only up to 1 million. After that is above his pay grade. After that is above his authority and control. And it's stated that beyond 1 million, the applicants may now apply to a minister of finance who has authority to grant waivers beyond the threshold. And it's also very important, especially vehicle owners, to see that you have, for example, you have a medical aid, and you also have maintenance fee that are supporting you, but the vehicle that you are driving, it's in your uncle's name. The last time it was serviced, it was 3 years ago. There are no mirrors, and you just do not know where you are going. And you don't comply. And you find it in Namibia, people who don't comply. It's just, a person may have money, but it's just not complying. Just not complying. And not to insult a person, you are not complying with any law. You are not complying with any law. You are, for example, illegally occupy a certain land. You also illegally married. The car you are driving is not on the road, and even the way you are driving, you are not complying. You are not. And how many charges do you have? How many times you are breaking the law without being caught? There are people who are like that, who are just living by grace. And it's not a good thing to be not a good citizen. It's not a good thing, because your incompliance will lead to contagious behavior that will impact the way institutions which are responsible for corrections of funds which are going to be useful in the development of the country to be hindered. Okay, you must have at least something that is non-compliance. Okay, the business is not registered, the car is not on the road, it's driving without a license, you are also not putting on the belt, everything is just and you what you have is just your name. The ID you are using is not yours. You owe the bank. At least do one thing. And when things are coming like this, to say, no, guys, above 3 years, vehicle, license fees, debts, it's going to be waived, or it's prescribed debts. It's an old debt. And we are going to assist you to come to the new window to say, okay, now we have assisted you, now come and pay. Actually, it's not going to happen. So, dear listeners, it's 29 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 8. So, while we are at Road Fund Administration, let us pay the bills, because we have a long way to go.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian, passionately feeding the nation.
Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
Yeah, that is it from Road Fund Administration. That is from Road Fund Administration. While we have 31 minutes, it's very important also to look at the issue of being a law-abiding citizen, to say, there was a time we were discussing something, to say, doing something great without expecting something in return. When do we follow the law, and when do we do what is right? We only follow the law when we see the police officer. We only put on the belts or seat belts when we see the police officer. And how patriotic are we? A lot of people, they call themselves, I'm a patriotic person, I'm very patriotic, I'm brave, I love my country, and I'm revolutionary and all of these things. But when it comes to the aspect of the law, where are we standing as Namibians? Where are we standing as Namibians? Because it is stated, and Thomas Hobbes put this very well, to say, human being by nature, although they may be competitive and driven by self-interest, without law, we are not. There is no different from us and animals. That's why law is there, to govern men and protect the man from himself. That is what he said. And in simple terms, that law is protecting human beings from themselves. Because remember, that time when we were at school, deep down the village, you only run to class when you see the teacher. You only pretend to be studying when you see the teacher coming to class. But the question is that, did I understand why I went to school? That is the question. Is that happening within the society environment where I'm living in? You only clean the class when you were told to do so. But what is that moral civilized rules that we must have, especially in line with doing what is right without being forced to do so? Doing what is right without being forced to do so. And when somebody say do not litter, when somebody say do not break the law because nobody is watching you, who is that going to benefit from that? Because the question that we need to ask ourselves is that when it comes to development, there is more than building businesses and giving people jobs. There is the sustainability of development. How do you sustain a development? Because I'm always, I remember, I don't want to mention the region. I always look at, for example, classrooms that were built for schools. Just classrooms. And these are the classrooms, let me say, of high school students, grade 12, grade 11, grade 10. Look at the window. The door is not there, the handle is out, and the windows are broken. And you're asking yourself, is that, is this what is happening to the civilized world? What is the aspect of accountability? What is that moral behavior that we need to share as a society? Because we can have development, but if our behavior is not changing on how we deal with things, if our behaviors, if we are not civilized at the human level, we are not going to maintain those infrastructure. We are not going to maintain those infrastructure, because had we understood that there is more than infrastructure, and there is more than employment and money, and there is more than property, there is aspect of human civilization, and that is something that we are going to deal with for quite some time. That is something that more works need to be done on, especially when it's coming to human development. How can we follow the laws which govern the people? How can we follow the laws which govern people? Just being civilized. Just nobody should advise you to say, wear the seat belt. Just nobody to advise you to say, why are you drinking 20 tots of Jack Daniel if you know that you are driving 20 people and you are staying in Okanja, for example? Just basic things to say. Why you are doing that if you are a person of the law? Just basic things to say. Why are you cooking books? Because if you are not caught today, that behavior you still pass on to a person that you are training. But yeah, it's something that we need to look into, because and it's also something that when we look at where we are now, the situation has also forced people to develop certain kinds of behavior, because poverty have changed us to something else. Inequality have also changed us to something else. Because even if you give me a lot of money and you give me a lot of properties, I still need a certain level of behavior on how to deal with those properties, because the structure of the society where we are living in, has changed a lot of people. That's why do not be angry when somebody say, many taxi drivers do not have good manners. Because of the situation that person is living in, because of the people that person is living with, maybe he end up having high blood pressure. high blood pressure that we have caused, even to taxi drivers, because you just treat him the way you treat him to say, no, you are just driving me, so I give you this amount of money. But what is the contribution of civilized manner, civilized behaviors to the advancement of the country? And what is the relationship of that in reaching the intended goal? But what is the relationship of that? Because remember, when it comes to aspect of development, when it comes to aspect of advancing the country, when it comes to those aspects of advancing the country, there is an aspect of sustainability of that. And you can't sustain a good infrastructure if you don't know the purpose of that infrastructure. You cannot sustain a good road if you do not know that the purpose of that, and you don't see the value of that. You will not wear the seat belt if you do not understand the impact that you're going to cause to another person, or even to yourself. And not only to yourself, but to the people that depends on you. Because ask yourself this. Why do we have best roads in Africa, but we still have high rate of car accident? Why do we have that? Ask yourself that question. Why do we have peace and stability in the country, and we have still have high rate of violence, criminal activities, mental health issues, where peace and stability was supposed to be used to improve the lives of people? Why do we have that? And just to go deep into the behavior of a human being, to say, compare North Korea, for example. A lot of people are calling North Korea a military state. Look at the development of North Korea. Look at, although that is a bit extreme, but there is an aspect of a certain behavior to be imposed, to a standard behavior. Not to work like military people, but a standard behavior to say, this is how it is done. This is how youth, a standard young person should be. This is a certain way of behavior. Because if you go to Botswana and start throwing away toilet papers everywhere, or sweets, or anything, just everywhere, you will be punished for that. You'll be punished for that. Because you find somebody throwing away rubbish and say, "No, I'm creating jobs for cleaners." That is one of the most uncivilized things that you can do, because people are supposed to be busy with building startups, and we are still busy correcting behaviors. That's why this is brought by the aspect of why also Rod Fats is also doing that, to say, how can also young people now comply with what is needed from them? Yeah, we have around 19 minutes. We have around 19 minutes before we give the mic to Mike. Before we give the mic. And I think we are going to look at one more news, especially on the context of the continent, and also look at where are we going in terms of business, in terms of peace, and also in terms of stability. So let's look at commercial break, we can move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook,
Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoewe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarude dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kukwerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM ripare.
Eagle FM lets you express your concern.
Yes, we are moving forward. We are moving forward. It's just this recent news which is happening in Nigeria, which happened in Nigeria. I think I don't know what's the cause of this to say a gunman killed 22 people. It's not in Nigeria, but it's Niger. A gunman killed 22 people during a baptism ceremony in Western Niger. A gunman, 22 people in Western Niger. And they were attending a baptism ceremony. Now, I don't know whether they were attending a baptism ceremony and at the river, or they were at church, but it's also a report which is confirmed by Human Rights Watch. It's a report which is confirmed by Human Rights Watch to say in one day 22 people killed by a gunman. Just somebody come with a gun and so I think there were two. Okay. So let us look at this news. Let us look at this news. Let us look at this news to say people have just approached. Somebody may ask, is it a politically motivated killing? Is it a politically motivated killing? Or is a religious motivated killing? So let us look at this news. And also move forward. It's stated that according to the French press agency AFP, residents in Tilabea region in western Niger say that gunmen shot 22 people, most of which were attending a baptism. Niger's authority have confirmed that an attack happened but did not release casualty numbers. 22 civilians were killed in an attack by a group of gunmen on motorbikes in western Niger on Wednesday, that is yesterday, according to the report from media and witness. This report is confirmed by Human Rights Watch, HRW report, and the attackers opened fire on villagers attending a baptism ceremony and killed 15 people there. They then left the vicinity and killed another 7 civilians close by. The region of Tilabe in western Niger, bordering on Mali in Burkina Faso, is familiar with armed violence. Jihadist group in particular very active in that area, and the armed forces of Niger have been struggling to contain attack from diverse jihadist movement. Yeah, it's quite a sad, it's quite a sad news, especially when it's coming to gun violence. And I'm always telling people to say, we must be thankful, especially in Namibia, to say, we must be thankful we are not like others. And how can we focus on, how can we prioritize on the prioritized? To say, imagine somebody is busy building a startup and somebody just come and open fire. Or conflict have erupted. But the good thing about us Namibians is that no matter the challenges that we have, we also must praise ourselves to say, in terms of peace, and in terms of peace and stability, there we are good. We just need to move to the direction of how we can fix our economy, and also how we can avoid such things. Because the report about anybody said, especially jihadists, you know, when religions start to be a threat to human lives, it must also be dealt with. When religions start to be a threat to human lives, it must also be dealt with. That's why in a civilized world, it's important also to question the beliefs and religions that we are getting into. Sometimes, yes, it's your right to do so, but you must understand what is behind that, because if something starts to become a threat to human lives, then it must be dealt with accordingly by the law. And we have also seen it happening in Namibia. So what is happening, or what have happened in Niger. That is what have happened in Niger. And it's also a matter of also asking to say, is this a new development, or there's somebody behind this, or is somebody trying to create an opportunity in this case? Because remember, that area of Niger, or the Sahel region in general, they have been under the protection of the French army. They've been under the protection of the French army, especially with the view of them assisting, the view of them assisting in. With a view of them assisting in terms of fighting against the jihadist. So it's something that we need to continue looking to, and it's also something that we need to make sure that we are aware of, because when you are establishing your business, when you are operating your business, you must put into consideration. You must put into consideration the aspect of safety, the aspect of safety, and also the aspect of protection of your properties, because you can't just put your business anyway. You cannot just put your business anyway, because if you are not safe enough, then it's going to be very difficult for you to get revenues. And just maybe to reflect back, especially with MTC Content Creators Award nominees, it's very important also to understand that there is an ongoing voting process of Namibians content creators, voting process of Namibia content creators, because you must be able to understand that when the 8th administration took power legally and democratically on the 21st March 2025, there have been this pronunciation about business unusual, and also pronunciation of prioritization of youth empowerment, prioritization of also of economic development through agro-processing, and also the recognition of creative industry, and also the recognition of creative industry, and on Tuesday, where MTC Content Creators Award, there is something which have happened, especially in terms of a nomination of these content creators, because there was also an indication to say these are the unseen heroes that are bringing you content, and also some of them are doing these things of content creating, whether you are a TikToker, whether you are a comedian, and also whether you are an influencer, and the impact of these TikTokers, the impact of this creative content creator, any content that you are putting on the table, there is always an impact of this on economy. There's always an impact, either direct or indirect, because one may be able to ask, what does a comedian contribute to the economy? Because remember, you can have sense of humor, but you cannot be a comedian. You can have a high level of sense of humor, but you cannot be a comedian, because a comedian, it requires a high level of skills. It also requires training, preparation, and also understanding of context, and reacting to the situation. And in that sector, not only entertaining people and making them laugh and forgetting about their problems, there is much learning in comedy. There's an aspect of self-evaluation in comedy, because when somebody is making fun of you professionally, you can get the message. There is communication made through that. Just a lot of them. And I was also very happy to see why and how this institution are investing in the creative industry. And one of the things which was spoken on that ground is the aspect of mental health, especially to a creative industry, content creators, aspect of mental health, because these guys, they also work hard under pressure, and you have to meet the deadlines, and also to continue encouraging those who are supporting those with extra talent, because remember, this is where you get actors from. This is where you get actors from. This is where you get singers. This is where you get performers. Because when somebody asks you about Namibia film industry, how many quality movies have been produced? They are there, but you cannot say that with confidence, because there is still a lot of things which are behind. But prioritization of that, maybe we are going to have Namibian wood or Nami wood one day, or where we are going to upgrade these talents of the young people that we are seeing in the street with talent, energy, and development. Because ask yourself this question: who is that? Where is that guy or is that lady who was making you laugh throughout high school or throughout primary school? We know she or he was not academically gifted, but maybe that could be one of his talents. Because I'm always evaluating to say, man, that time when we were at the combined school in the village, when we have this thing of drama, there is always that person who I wanted to be like in school. That person is very good with acting. That person is a performer. That person can imitate everybody. But due to the structure of the system, when we are growing up, go to grade, and these people end up losing out because they are not academically gifted and their gifts are not valued. And the way their parents look at them are just there to make people laugh, but you do not have any talent. Little do they know that they are killing the talent of that person. But I think with a new administration, we'll be able to see parents also, and and also guardians respecting the talents. If a kid want to say me, my life is in sport, ask yourself, where can I support this kid to the best of my abilities? Not only to say sport, but if you have to study, at least something that you love, so that even if you don't make it through that, you can start a business in that line. You can become a coach one day, or you can invest in sport, because that is what is closer to your heart. So, dear listeners, we have 1 minute before we come to the end of our conversation, before we hand over before we hand over the mic to Mike to unpack the day. And as we are always indicating to you, as we are always saying, it's always crucial, sorry, it's very important, sorry, it's necessary, sorry, it's needed, especially to upgrade yourself with information and also to self-learn. And you can only do that when you listen to programs at Eagle FM Namibia, when you are accessing economic intelligence, business data, through reading the Villager newspaper, when you are interacting on variable conversations, not only conversation on the mere conversation at the surface level, but a deeper conversation, which when you go home, even when you go home that day without coins in the pocket, at least there is content in your mind. Because one thing that we'll be able to see is that is the invisible wealth that is your mind. And when you upgrade it, there is no corner of the world that is going to stop you. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop. And we are going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri to unpack the day. So from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.